First, I'll say I'm glad you didn't take that hymn we just sang as the closing hymn and got up and left. I'm glad you stayed. It maybe came a little too soon. How many of you remember these two words? Phoenix Affirmations. I suppose I shouldn't ask, is anybody trying to forget those two words? Phoenix Affirmations. You know, as I think back about those Phoenix Affirmations, I am remembering what was a part of the first several Sundays when someone from the congregation was asked to share their story as it related to that particular affirmation. And as I listened to those affirmations, I began to wonder, what would my story be if I had been asked to share for one of them? I wasn't asked, but maybe this is the asking now. And I decided that if I were asked to share that story, it would not be just my story, but it would be our story. It would be the story of two people, the story of my wife Carol and me and our life together. It's a story that begins back in Easter 1969. I was pastor of the Big Flat. Do I need to change those? Ted isn't. Okay. There's the picture. There showed up at the Big Flat Church where I was pastor a young woman with three kids. We didn't know each other. We didn't know that that meeting was going to lead to anything in the future, except the fact that she kept coming back to church. But as a couple years passed, I was transferred to Bath, but we continued to sometimes see each other and run into each other. And during a period of around 2 years, something developed, and there took place in the United Methodist Church in Ferguson, Missouri, a wedding. A wedding on March 22nd, 1971. Now, I know if I were to ask some of you, you would say we were rebounding, we were marrying too soon. But there it was, Carol and I becoming husband and wife and becoming what was back then a typical clergy couple. Now, a clergy couple in those days, you will probably all remember, was the male pastor who was sent to the church by the bishop and the superintendent, and with him came his spouse, his wife. And she became, in some ways, sometimes, the unpaid assistant, the one who geared in some way that she could to the life and ministry of that particular church. But then change was coming. Now, Carol began to find her place, and it was Christian education, first in the local church, then in the district, and finally moving on to the jurisdiction, and that significant event which took place at Watson Homestead every year. And as she was moving through the life of the church in this way, she also began to sense a call to ministry. And she continued with her education until finally she was ordained also as an associate member of annual conference. And we became one of those new kind of clergy couples. One of those where both husband and wife are Methodist pastors who are sent by the bishop and hopefully by the Holy Spirit to serve churches, not together as a general rule, but separate churches. But at times we were able to get together in the life of the churches we were serving. And one of those, well, now, does anybody recognize what that picture is from? Remember those days when they made church directories for us? Olin Mills. And you know, the church struggled and worked hard and recruited enough people. And there I am, Carol and me, at one of the churches that we were serving. We were sent to serve churches. And sometimes we got together at our various churches and were able to share together. Now, what does all this have to do with our gospel lesson for today? We remember that it talks of Jesus preaching and teaching. And I'm thinking not just of Luke's gospel, but also Matthew and Mark, who tell in somewhat different words the same story. But as Jesus was teaching, as he was healing, as he was going about in those early days of his ministry, there were those who began to follow him. First came those 12 disciples or apostles, and Matthew names them, and it's interesting, I find that he names them in groups of two, six groups of two, who were somehow related before they came to him, and in some cases, one brought the other to share in the message that this new teacher was proclaiming. A new way of life, a new way to relate to God, a new way to know God. And I'm sure if I could put myself in the place of those 72 who became the larger number, one would begin to wonder, what will this teacher expect of me? What will I need to be doing? Surely I'm not going to simply come and listen to him preach time after time, whenever he's around. And those thoughts were soon fulfilled. But it came as a great relief, because as he began to send them out, he sent them out two by two, or as Luke says, in pairs. They went out together. They did not go on alone. They did not go on to share the good news about Jesus, to tell people that he was coming out into their village, into their community, to speak of their relationship with God and how they might grow in that relationship. They would be able to travel together, to encourage each other, to share with each other, to grow together as a couple. I'm thinking of the fact that many of us have had those same kind of experiences as we've, in a way, sensed being sent out two by two. And I think of various couples in the life of this church. And you're laughing. You're laughing already. And Jeannie and Ted are laughing the most. Because there they are. Often functioning as a couple sent by Christ in ministry, but also each of them individually sharing in other relationships and in other ministries and in other ways. But it isn't always married couples. I'm speaking of all kinds of couple relationships. Who doesn't recognize Cindy and Jane, good friends who became greater friends as they entered into a ministry together of co-chairing the soup and sermon group that some of you are a part of, and more of you could share in if you would like to do so. And then next Sunday is the church fair, right? And if you come to that church fair, you might find yourself standing before some table, some group, and the ministry they are emphasizing. And something may say, maybe I could be a part of that, but you're hesitant. And then you see the person standing next to you, and you begin to talk together, and you say, hey, we could share together in this particular ministry, in this particular outreach method that's available for us in the life of this church. We find ways to relate to each other. I couldn't help, as I thought about this, to think about those two Roman Catholic nuns who all their lives were in medical mission together in one of the southern states, who had become great friends and who had worked together, and then they were brutally murdered. And some of you will tell me, well, what about those Mormons who go out two by two? And then I continued thinking about those who had been sent out. Those who had been sent out two by two. And I wondered, did that relationship, which for whatever the reason was, Jesus decided to send these two out. Some may have been a husband and wife, two brothers, two sisters, two friends. Maybe some that didn't always know each other well, but yet Jesus sent them out together. And I wondered, what about that relationship that was established as they went out in this two-by-two way? Did it continue? And I thought of the fact that there was a time when Jesus needed a donkey, and he sent two out to get the donkey that now is a part of our Palm Sunday celebrations. And then Jesus was to have that last meal with his disciples. And as he thought about that meal, he knew they needed a room. So again, he sent out two to find and reserve the room in which they might meet for their last meal with Jesus. And then as I thought about it, I moved on finally to those two who were traveling on the road to Emmaus. We know that one of them was named Cephas, but that's about all we know about that pair. Were they a husband and wife? Were they brothers? Or were they just friends? We don't know, but we know that they were grieving the loss of Jesus. Perhaps they had witnessed the crucifixion. They had seen him die, and now it was just a day or so later, and they were mourning together. They were discussing what had happened, and they find a stranger joining them, and he begins to talk with them about it, and finally, they come to what perhaps was their home, and they stop. And then they are about to have some bread together, and as the stranger breaks bread, they recognize that it's the risen Christ, and then he is gone from their midst. Sometimes we find new life in our relationships that we have with others. We discover new hope. Sometimes we even discover anew who Christ is for us and what Christ means to us. We too can find new life as we relate to each other. Now, sometimes that relationship changes. It certainly did for Carol and me as she moved on in the development of dementia. As she became, well, I discovered how difficult it is to take a selfie of two people. It's not an easy thing, and perhaps that was symbolic of the fact that it becomes a whole new and different and sometimes difficult thing to relate to that person who's been so much a part of your life. And you relate often on the basis of past experiences, of sharing what was a part of your life together. Now, again, I want to be sure to suggest that I am not thinking simply of married couples, but good friends also become so close that when one's health fails, maybe not dementia, maybe some other way, and they become the supporter, the one who helps that one whose life and emotion and health is failing. How does the relationship continue? Sometimes it does continue, but it continues as you relive and perhaps discover new meaning in what was your past together. As you look at pictures and as you think together of when you first met and perhaps when you married, and I'm suggesting that maybe maybe you might spend a few moments reflecting on how you became a part of this church. One of the last decisions that Carol and I made together was to be a part of University Church. Some of you may have made that decision as a husband and wife. Some of you may have grown up in this church in the past, both of your families being a part of it, and you met the person who became your spouse here in this church. Or some of you may have been a part of a church that's closed, two close friends, a mother and daughter, two brothers, two sisters. Or perhaps you're a gay couple committed to each other, and you heard that here was a church that would be open to you and would accept you, and you could come as a couple and you could grow together. And so we might reflect on how we became a part of this church. Reflect on the relationships that have enriched our lives together, that have played a part in who and what we are now, and indeed sometimes have helped us to rediscover who Christ is to us. And with gratitude, we're grateful for all of those experiences, some brief, some continuing, some enriching our lives as long as we live. May God bless each of us as we continue to relate to all the congregation and to those specific persons who seem to be ones that draw something out about us, who help us to be more what we are called to be, and give us a sense of being sent out two by two by Christ.
He just asked me, how long was that? And I just said, amen. It was so good. Thank you so much for sharing today. As a symbol of our ministry in this place and beyond, let us bring our tithes and offering.
Oh. in our unison prayer of dedication, as we bring our offerings, we pray, O God, that you will send laborers among all your children to preach good news, to bring healing, to feed the hungry. We would support them with our gifts. And if there are tasks for us to do, help us to respond with our lives, not our leftovers. Amen. Let us join in singing our closing hymn, Sent Forth by God's Blessing.
Go out into this world, being called, looking for your two by two, and go now in peace.